Let's talk a little Boston sports. We welcome in our friend, the always cool Nick Coit of ABC6 in Providence. Hello there, Nick.
You know, Rich, I tend to agree with you on your weather discussion there, because we wait all year for the snow to go away, for all the cold and all that jazz to go away. It's like, if I complain about the 90 degrees, then I'm like, well, which one is it? You know, this is the time of the year we wait for. And so I tend to be with you. Like, I don't mind it. And you know what? We were in Foxborough today, and there was a bit of a breeze. It was hot, but there was a bit of a breeze. So I said, you know what? This is what we like. This is the time of the year we like. So yeah. I'm not going to complain.
No, not at all. Well, let's talk about Foxborough. What's going on so far in the early days of camp? What are you seeing? What do you like?
Well, what do I like? I like that it seems that Mac Jones is the leader of this team, and they're going to rally behind this kid. And I think he's going to be able to handle it, Rich. You know, I think there's a lot of reports down there, and you know, from my vantage point as well, that they're going through some growing pains when it comes to the offense. They're trying to do some different things, and I know he's shown some frustration as well. But you know what? I think the kid's got a good head on his shoulders. I think they're putting a lot of trust in him. And you can tell that he worked in the offseason on himself, on his you know, physicality and all of that. And so that's what I like so far, is that the kid's been put in the spotlight here going into his second season. And I think so far, you know, signs are pointing in the right direction for Mac Jones.
Not a lot of big name guys to catch the ball, but how does the receiver core look? At least there's more depth than there's been.
There is. And you know what, Rich? I think if they can keep, and this is always the key with this guy in his career so far, if they can keep Devontae Parker healthy, I think he's going to be a dude for them. I really do. I think he's shown some flash through camp so far. Probably not this week as much as he did in week one, but there's an obvious talent level with him where, you know, if Mac needs to go to somebody to make a big catch, this is a guy that I think he can probably go to. So, you know, the receiving core, you know, past him, you know, I like the speed and the just the attitude, I think, the positive attitude that Kendrick Bourne brings. I think it just it brings a liveliness to the offense. I think Jacoby Myers is solid. And so, you know, you go through the list and you say, well, they've got a solid core here. And if, say, somebody like a Tyquan Thornton, who, yes, he's got that speed, but I think he's starting to pick up on some of the things they're doing offensively too. If he can step forward, all of a sudden you got a group that, like you said, has some depth. And if they make a few plays, you know, and pair them with the tight ends, then all of a sudden there's a diverse group there for Mac Jones to work with.
What are the biggest questions right now on the defensive side, Nick?
The defensive side, I think it's obvious that at linebacker they're trying to get younger and speedier without, you know, Dante Hightower around, without Kyle Van Noy, Jamie Collins, like guys that you knew from the past, they aren't there. I happen to like that approach. I think they do need to get younger and speedier there. But right now we don't know totally who is going to step forward and help out Matt Judon when it comes to the linebacker group. And then the corners, I think there's been some flash from different guys, but I don't think we have a definitive answer yet on, okay, who's starting where. I think Jalen Mills is going to be one of your starting corners on the outside, in terms of who's on the other side. Not totally sure yet. There's an opportunity for guys to step forward. So they're younger at a lot of spots, but if that brings some more speed to the defense, then I think they needed some sort of overhaul there, because when you don't force an opponent in the playoffs to punt in a game, I think there needs to be major changes, and so I think they're trying to do that.
Nick Coit with us here on Downtown. Interesting news this week on Tom Brady, Miami, and their efforts to woo him a while back. And certainly the NFL has reached out and penalized Miami and Steve Ross. But what does it say about Tom Brady that he was willing to engage in those conversations?
Well, I've been thinking about this, Rich, for a couple of days. I think I had an initial reaction, was like, what are you doing? But at the same time, I always think of it, you know, I try to humanize things sometimes. And look, I don't think the human here, you can understand, like, okay, your employer is making you mad. You want to seek employment elsewhere. And so you put feelers out with different places of work, especially when you're a contracted employee. You kind of have to be quiet about it, whatever. So the human side of me says, like, They were giving him incentive-laden contract offers, so he shopped his services elsewhere. I get that, and I understand that. Does it make it right? No, I don't think so. And that's why I look at it and I say it feels kind of slimy. And especially for a guy like Brady, who likes to portray himself with a clean sheet, this is not a great look. And especially because you're talking to another owner, you know, when you claim to have such a close relationship with the owner of the Patriots, so, you know, like a father figure, and you're going to treat him like that. You're going around with another woman behind her back. Like, you know, like those are the sorts of things that I think of here. So it's just not a great look for Tom Brady. I'd say that's sort of the answer I come to.
The Red Sox earlier this afternoon designated Jackie Bradley Jr. for assignment. His second go round with the team ends. We could never get the offense going, but my goodness, he was fun to watch in the outfield.
Well, and that's why I look at it now and I say, okay, so you're going to DFA him. Clearly, he was sort of your fourth outfielder at this point, and a defensive replacement, and probably the best defensive outfield you have on the roster still, even with the Tommy Pham, you know, acquisition and whatever, Jaron Duran being up. So I wonder here. Like, I get the bat, I get the average, I get all of that, but you're DFAing him now. I keep coming back to the question with the Red Sox, Rich. What direction are we going in here? Like, what's the plan here? You know, I can't come to an answer here because, you know, a couple days before this, we've been talking about how, you know, they go out and they trade for a first baseman and a major league outfielder, which they could have used 4 months ago. And then they trade away their catcher who runs the pitching staff. Like, I don't totally know what's going on there. So I'm still scratching my head about the Sox.
Well, yeah, and in terms of the Bradley thing, you know, if you trace it back, first of all, they've been better off just hanging on to Hunter Renfroe, I think. But now, look, if I want an extra outfielder, as bad as he is at the plate, I'll take Jackie Bradley Jr. over Jaron Duran any day. I'm already tired of his act.
Completely, 100%. That's why I'm kind of scratching my head. Like, he's the he's got a role, and as the defensive guy off the bench after the seventh, eighth inning, whatever, you know, put him out there to get the final six outs and, you know, help things along. And, you know, when I look at it was funny. There was a game about a week ago where there was a ball that got hit off the side of the Red Sox bullpen. It was like a seventh or eighth inning. It was like a double. And Duran's out there in center field. Bradley's in right. And Duran can't track it down. Ends up being a double. I remember Tony Maserati was on the call of the game. And about 60 seconds after I said out loud what I was thinking, he said it on the broadcast, which was, why is Jaron Duran in center field and why is Jackie Bradley Jr. in right field?
Yeah.
Like, especially late in the game, like, what are we doing? I don't know. They're trying to fit, you know, square pegs and round holes. Christian Arroyo started the year in right field. Bobby Dalbec and Franchi Cordero apparently are first basemen. Spoiler alert, they're not. Still, again, I scratch my head with this team in this direction.
And I feel like Bloom is trying to somehow cover all the bases here and improve the roster for next year, but still keep them, at least give them the illusion of being competitive for this final wild card spot. And so you take on veterans, and, you know, Hosmer, yes, look, he can play first base. Is he better than Dalbec and Cordero? Sure, but is that the direction you want to go, having him tied up for 3 years when you've got a pretty good first baseman in your minor league that now it appears you're blocking?
Well, I'll say this. The Hosmer deal itself, just looking at it under the microscope, I do like it because of the value there of having a major league first baseman, so it gives you stability there. They're paying basically all of the money that's left on his contract.
Right.
So it's like you're paying minimum for a veteran guy. And if you look at the relationship between him and Cassius, apparently they went to the same high school. He's kind of been a mentor to him. And so, you know, that may be your future, you know, tandem when it comes to first base, and maybe, you know, Hosmer becomes a backup, whatever. I don't mind that deal. It's just that you did it. And I know it was an opportunity because of the Soto deal, but like, you got a major league first baseman like this 4 months too late. It should have been going into the season. You should have had somebody like this, Rich. And that's why I'm like, why now? Why are we doing this now?
Yeah, and still have JD Martinez hanging around. Look, I like having that bat in the lineup, but he's gone at the end of the year, and they're at best going to be a wild card team. I guess I would have preferred to see them get something in return.
I guess it's maybe the qualifying offer thing at the end of the year. Maybe they think that, you know, they can get him on the cheap for next season. I think that's sort of the mentality, and I guess that's sort of been the explanation when it comes to Vasquez, too. But I don't know, like trading away a designated hitter who all he does is go up to the plate and hit, and trading away a catcher who, yes, he also hits, but he also catches and he runs the pitching staff, and he's familiar with all of your guys on the pitching staff, and he's basically like a second pitching coach. Like, that's such a big contrast to me. And is it worth like a qualifying offer or whatever you get there? Like, I don't totally know the logistics of that, but I don't know. That's why I'm kind of scratching my head with the Vasquez thing. With Martinez, maybe that's why they think they can keep him on the team next year, keep him around. So I don't know if there was a deal out there for him. I would have made it if there was one, if it was, you know, valuable. But, you know, I don't know what was on the table for them for that.
And once again, continuing a long tradition, did they call you? Did they call me for our advice? No.
No, we don't run the Red Sox. We don't know baseball like those guys do. No way, Rich. We're just sitting here in our chairs, sitting pretty, and we can say whatever the heck we want.
And that there's a certain freedom in that.
There is. Yes, sir.
Nick Coyd, ABC6 in Providence. Nick, always great to catch up with you, my friend. Appreciate you making time for us this afternoon. You stay cool down there, especially in Foxborough, and we'll check in with you again soon.
Thank you, my friend. You stay cool as well and enjoy the weather as you have been doing up there.
Thanks a lot, Nick. We'll see you later.
Thanks, buddy.
That's Nick Coyd, ABC6 Providence, with us on Downtown.